James Duthie will join us here in a moment. You mentioned the Bubba Watson head covers for his irons. And a couple of people brought this to my attention. One said, you know Ping is paying him for that. It's probably 100% valid.
Dude, and they could say, here's $100,000 for iron covers. I'd say, I'll change companies, please.
Well, what's the price? Because yeah. I saw Bubba on Instagram. He posted it. Hey, I got these new iron covers. What do you think, guys? Like, so blatantly kind of, you know, essentially
what?
Trying to sell it on behalf of his partner.
Well, it's a, maybe Ping, you're chilling. Right. It's, Ping is trying to get them back in the game with iron covers somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to be the case. Because there's no one on tour in history has put iron covers in the bag. Like, I've never seen it before. Maybe it's happened at some point, but I've never seen it before. And it was loud, and he posted it on Instagram. So Ping clearly thinks we can get in on this. Like, there's something we can do here. There's some sort of money. Someone's willing to buy these things. And you'll see him from time to time out there, but not very often.
Dude, I'll tell you, the best-selling thing on earth is just... And obviously, TaylorMade doesn't care what I say about them. But how do you not watch guys that have TaylorMade, like DJ with a TaylorMade driver, ripping it down the middle every? Like, that would make me drive to the store and buy that driver. It's like he just crushes his driver. Everyone hitting that new TaylorMade. So many guys hit the TaylorMade driver. It's just
McIlroy's
crushed.
Got it, and Tiger's got it, and Kepka. Like their lineup. Kepka, Morikawa's. Although he doesn't bomb it off the tee, but.
Is there some company that is so good out there that they don't have to pay the players?
Well,
like the players are like, I want that.
That company is TaylorMade, but they still have to pay their top guys.
Oh, they're paying their top guys are getting paid for sure.
Tiger Woods is in their stable. I'm sure they're not just saying, hey, want to use this? They have to pay the man.
I know that, but I've always experienced companies, I mean, at the pro level, it was goalie stuff. But, like, there was a mask company one time that was, like, super popular, and I wanted to try it, and the guy, like, big time. He's like, nah, he basically told me I wasn't, like, goaltender so you can take a lap.
That's gutless.
And then, like, I was like, all right. And then a year later, circled back with me. He's like, I'll make it. Once other masks came around and were more popular, he was like, I'll make you a mask. And I said, no, I'm good. Thanks. Like,
yeah, I had a guy tell me that Warrior hockey sticks were so good that players were going to pay to use the product. I said, no chance in hell.
Well,
no
I think
chance
they are
in
good.
Hell.
They are good sticks, aren't they, Warrior
sure,
sticks?
Sure, but nobody's going to say, yeah, I'll pay you to use your sticks. They're that good. It's just not happening.
Not if you're in the NHL.
No.
Like, and if you're on tour and you're one of the best players. Like, there are guys that will use different, that just enjoy using different I guess companies, you know,
right.
In different lines, and whether it's a pair of shoes or a golf glove that they like, you know, or whatever, generally they'll try to cover it if they can, because if you're being paid like an exorbitant amount of money by TaylorMade or by whomever it might be, and you're like, I kind of want to use this foot joy, you know, it's like, all right, you got to be careful with that, because it probably comes with the category or comes with the territory. Like, you see it with a guy like Tiger, like, to the point where what he drives to a course. Like, he's got to drive a Buick. Tiger doesn't want to be driving a Buick, you know, to Augusta National. With all due respect to Buick, beautiful cars, beautiful
right.
line. Tiger would probably prefer to show up in, like, a Ferrari or something.
Right.
But he's paid, and he's a spokesman, so it's going to happen, right? Like, it's smart
yeah.
business. That's the way it should
it
be.
Is.
Like, and how many athletes on earth have a car deal to the point where it's like, when you drive up to your place of business, we need you to be driving that thing? Like, who else? How many other athletes?
Well, I honestly feel, and maybe I'm wrong, but I know, you could speak to it. You played for the Leafs. If you played for the Leafs, you could get a car deal. Like, you could get a loaner car for the season or whatever.
Dude,
the best story,
Jamie, the best story is the Fergler. We have Duthie on, and he can chime in with the story. So the Fergler's all bent out of shape. One of the sponsors for the Leafs my first year I got there was, like, Ford or something. So Fergler comes in the room. He's like, yeah, you know, Ford, now Ford this and Ford that, Ford. And, Ford. And Ty Domi puts up his hand and goes, yeah, I got BMWs for the whole team. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to, and they're all blue. So every player gets a BMW, and then after the season, they're going to get auctioned off. And Fergie shrugs his shoulders and he's like, Ford. And then just we all got up and walked out of the room. And it was just like Ty said, we're doing this with the BMWs. So suck on that one. And Fergie didn't have anything to say.
What
he's all bent out of shape.
Can neither confirm or deny it.
Can't force him. It's not in your contract to drive.
I was thinking to myself, in Carolina, like, this is a whole new world. He just stood up and said, we all got BMWs. Do what you want with them. At the end of the year, we'll auction them off. Meeting adjourned. Fergie, take a lap with your Ford talk.
Here's esteemed author and host of TSN, James Duthie. What's up, JD?
I don't like to, I think the car endorsement is wrong, particularly for a broadcaster, unless you guys are looking for a Ford or Lincoln at McAlpine Ford, just minutes north of the 407 in Aurora.
Right.
Come to call Peter and the team today.
Yeah, well, you were elite. What was it that you played that you were convincing people in those spots? I hear them every single day. Was it flag football, or what was that again?
Yeah. We coached together. We coached middle school co-ed flag football together, me and Pete from McAlpine Ford. So
beautiful.
That's
shout
a shoe-in for a car deal. The funny thing was Pete Sawyer is his name, really good guy, and he advertises on your show, so I don't mind plugging him extra.
Yep.
But Babcock's car deal was with Pete. And I remember when Babcock got fired, like Pete had to...
Babcock
had to bring the car back, and like Pete had to drive him home, and it was a quiet conversation like the day after or something. It was not a good
day
for Pete.
That's awkward, man. You got to get that in the next book, James. That the full story of what was said between Pete and Babs.
Pete gets the real deal.
Yeah.
Pete's got, because you're driving in Toronto from Aurora, that's a good 50 minutes back to Babcock.
Jimmy, though,
condo.
Why didn't he just send a guy to pick up the truck at his house? That's a dumb move.
Think that Pete was trying to do the right thing. He's the owner taking care of it. I can't remember what happened. Pete was doing the right thing. He drove down to, I don't know. But anyway, Pete had the long drive with Babcock right out of the day after he got fired. I know that.
Yeah, I wonder where you draw the line on that. Like, you mentioned Carolina, that's just not happening in Carolina. Like, where, at what point in terms of the league and the importance of a team in a specific market do you start getting those perks? Like, obviously in Toronto you get them. I would think throughout Canada you probably get it. You know, Boston, Chicago, New York, maybe. I don't even know if you would in New York.
But
get the Knicks and the Giants.
Don't most NHL players get car deals in their local, at least?
No, if you're somebody, you could say, hey, I'll throw a couple of picks on the gram and I'll drive this car around or whatever. But it's not like every Joe Schmo is getting a car deal. Like, come on.
No, it's not a deal.
Had in Carolina a car deal that Kevin Dineen drove up and down the runway that day and got the Hurricanes banned from ever parking on the near the airport again?
The most idiotic move. We used to drive right in beside the plane and park right beside it, and you used to have automatic access getting into the plane, and the plane was 2 hours late. So he always knew my keys were in my car. He just started burning up and down the runway in my 911. And like the airport, whatever, security is freaking out. This 911 is wheeling up and down the runway. And they just said, you guys aren't allowed to park your cars there anymore. So
he ruined it for everyone. The next four generations of Hurricanes.
It's all over.
Yeah, but the best part about that story that's hidden, not hidden, but we overlooked this, he knew I left my keys in the car. So you just leave your keys in the car when you got on the plane for a week-long road trip. Like, that's probably
that
something
that car
that
had a life. That car disappeared for 2 weeks, and nobody, not including myself, knew where that one was.
Well, my favorite car sponsorship story, and sorry, this is in beauties, but Stamkos had a Jaguar in Tampa, and his dad, Chris, who I know used to come down, and Steve probably had a couple of cars, so he let Chris drive the Jag when he was in town to watch games. And so Chris has his buddy down with him, another couple, and the wives, and they go to the game, and they get to park in the Tampa Bay lot where, you just hand some guy the keys and you go watch the game and you come back, and it's the players and executives lot. And so they watch the game. Tampa wins 5-1. Chris gets back in the car with the two wives and the friend. They drive back to Steve's place, and he goes to open the gate with the remote, and it doesn't work. And he's like, what's going on here? He starts looking around, and there's these papers. He goes, looks for his sunglasses. They're not there. He looks for these. There's these papers on the seat, and he picks them up, and he's got Iserman's Jag.
No way.
So Steven and Iserman had the exact same color Jag, and so when they came out after the game, he just walked up to the Jag. The keys were in it. And drives home, and he stole Iserman's car. And meanwhile, Steven's getting calls from this woman named Liz Sylvia, who is Iserman's assistant, going, your dad stole Steve's car. Could you try and get in contact with him?
That's outstanding. Yeah, that's
amazing.
You know he's not getting shipped out because he's stamp goes. But could you imagine if you were the dad of a kid that just made it to the NHL, like a
Freddy the Goat
pick?
Stole Shanny's car. Yeah.
Well,
the
best
game.
Part of you know, Chris made a little joke when I guess Steve came back to the arena. I guess Steve took. Steve Yzerman took. Stamkos' car home, and then they came back and exchanged cars. And Chris made a joke, said, "Hey, just so you know, I had your Rolodex there, so I made a few deals." You know, ha ha ha, dad jokes.
Yeah.
And then later in the year, the Tampa had an awful year that year. And I guess Chris was at a game later in the year, saw Iserman, he's got a dark, warped sense of humor, said, you should have made those trades.
Probably should. Well, listen, it worked out for him in the end.
Yeah.
With James Duthie. I guess we're about to see Sidney Crosby play his 1,000th game, mm-hmm. which should have happened a couple of years ago. Like, Ovi's hit 1,100 plus, you know, and he hit 1,000 a while ago. But it's pretty incredible. Like, we still call him Sid the Kid. He's Sid the middle-aged man now. Like, he's not a kid anymore. He's still a remarkable player. But how many more years do you think we're looking at this? If you could look into the crystal ball here and, you know, Sid being a prominent player and a guy that shows up in the top 10 in our top 50 every year on TSN, mm-hmm. you know, do you think we got a long runway here? Or what's your read on Crosby and where he's going?
I think he was top two until this year or last year, maybe was the first year that he dropped down to like 8 or 10. So every single year that we've done that show, which is probably from his second year in the league or something, that he was either 1 or 2, which is that is truly remarkable, right? To be that consistently great for that long. And I would say injury willing, you know, and I think we all knock on wood about his head. I think the way he takes care of himself and his smarts and the way he plays the game, that there's 3 years of prime Sid left. And then it's a good player for another 2 or 3 years, and then it's probably over. The interesting thing about Sid and is will he hang around, right? Will he be a guy who scores 15 goals in the last couple of years? I don't know.
I don't think so, Jimmy.
I don't think so either. But he loves it so much. Like, he's one of those guys that I guess he'd probably... We were talking about this the other day, that Pittsburgh... Here's what will happen again. Pittsburgh will... Sid will hang around for a few years, and then he'll transition to ownership just like Mario, and they'll land another... they'll land in the next great phenom and transition right into that, right? Because I could see him doing that. I think he'll need to... need to be one of those guys that's forever at the rink and involved in the game as a GM or,
oh, he's not going
or an
anywhere.
Owner or whatever.
Yeah, and James, we talked about that, where that organization, they've got to be probably thinking ahead as far as, if you remember before Crosby got there, mm-hmm. it was not good for that organization, and he kind of saved things, and there's a new rink built. They got to be thinking ahead, thinking, what the hell is going to happen when Sid's gone, Malkin's gone? Like, where are we going to be as an organization? That's got to be a real tough thing to deal with.
It is, but I think it's a couple years down the road decision on that. I remember I got to cover Sid's very first game. I think it was actually a preseason game, the first time he suited up in Pittsburgh, and it was Sid and Mario together, and it was magic. I think Mario scored the winner in a shootout or something like that. But the buzz in that building, and it was the old one, I think still the Igloo. To think, like, just how gifted that franchise has been.
Oh.
To go from that guy to that guy.
Gross.
Right?
Gross.
It's insanity.
Right.
And
on
they
top
in,
of it, how about Malkin, Francis, and Yager? Take Sid
Letang.
Out. Take Lemieux out. Yeah. Throw Letang, Malkin, Francis, Yager. Like, those guys alone, you'd be like, man, that's a good 35-year run.
Yeah.
And they're not even in the top two.
No. I heard the 1,000 game thing. I kind of lost track. It made me feel ridiculously old that Sid's been around for 1,000 games and whatever years it is now in the National Hockey League. He's a guy like I'm legitimately going to miss. Like, there's good players that retire and you go, okay, that guy was great to watch, but I'm going to get like legitimately, Sid's been a part of our, you know, our entire primes covering this game, right? And when he's gone from it, I don't know. I'm a massive fan just the way he conducts himself.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. I mean, I look at it, he's younger than I am. So when he goes, like, he's been my guy kind of in terms of age bracket, like Sid coming up and LeBron is the equivalent in the NBA. Like, those are the, I guess, Tiger, although he's a bit older. You know, certain players, you know, that have just been a part of the scene, Serena Williams, like Federer, like, they've just been there for 20 years since I've been a diehard sports fan. And they've been elite. They've been the cream of the crop. And it's like they're on not only just on the back nine, like they're teeing off on like 15, 16.
Well, the other thing with Sid, too, besides, you know, the legacy he'll have with cups and gold medals and all those other things. But when we did this piece a couple of weeks ago about, it was the Quizmaster who likes to write these essays sometimes and was writing an essay about the sort of guys who changed the game. And I think he had... Obviously, McDavid was the purpose of it, but there was McDavid, Crosby, I think Lafleur, Béliveau, or Mario Gretzky. I think there, I might be missing one, but that was basically it. And the Quizmaster was making basically a reason of what these particular guys did that changed the game forever. And I think what Sid ushered in, do you remember, you know, the way Sid skates and the way he turns and turns those skates out. And now everybody does it. All the good young players do it. But Sid was the first guy that when we saw him in junior when he broke into the NHL, he's just skated and moved differently on the ice than anybody else. And now you see tons of guys move like him. But that's the thing that I think all, you know, sort of remember most when he's gone is that he just athletically looked different than anybody I'd ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, I still have of the belief, though, that I think he's going to play till he's 40. I don't know why, because I just don't think that
How old is he?
34, isn't
he? 34, yeah. Born in 87. Yeah. Yep.
See, I think he is. You know, you're talking about age. Like, the horrifying one for me the other day was Messier and Gretzky turning 60.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that
Jordan
was like...
58.
Yeah, wow. Like, you know, those guys have been around our whole lives. But, like, hearing Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky turning 60, like, that's a weird...
That's a big number.
That's a big number to wrap your head around.
Yep.
You know?
It's a big number. But, you know what, bringing Gretzky into this conversation, I could totally see Crosby being the GM of Team Canada in 12 years, you know?
For sure.
Like, I could see that being something he'd take on. Like, I'll take it. I'll be a part of it. I'll be the voice of it, the face of it. And we brought that up a couple of weeks ago when it was announced that Doug Armstrong would be the GM of Team Canada. And I think he'll do a great job. I mean, his resume speaks for itself, and there's a million great players that he will choose from. And I have no doubt they're going to either win a gold or be in that gold medal game. But the history of that position would be more of, and you would know this better than anyone, James, you've been there covering it. It's not even a GM. It's the face. It's the voice. It's Gretzky. It's Yzerman, Bobby Clark. You know, and I think that'll be Sid in the future, and that's why
figurehead Sid.
More than a figurehead, exactly. That's why I thought it would be Sakic, Shanahan, or Rob Blake. Like, that's who I thought they were going to pick. One of those three guys, all three were there in 98, all three were there in 02, and, like, one of those guys would be the figurehead, saying we're going to China as a country, and if something goes wrong, I'll speak, and the whole country will listen, and... They're diverting.
Well, you wonder
from
if
that
they
plan.
Ask those guys, and maybe they. I mean, you wouldn't think that they wouldn't want it. Although Sakic, and it's funny you mentioned Sakic because I kind of think Sid will be in that vein when he, if he indeed transitions into that, that he'll be a kind of, you know, he'll play. He won't be out there every single day, doing news conferences and such in a Brian Burke type of way.
Right.
It'll be Sakic who just sort of quietly behind the scenes, and you know. Sakic, remember when Colorado was, people were laughing at him early on in his career as a general manager, and then all of a sudden he started to make these deals, and like go back and look at the Duchesne deal and what it netted Colorado, you know, Bowen Byram and It's ludicrous what that trade was worth, and now Sakic looks like a genius because they're just stacked with, you know, with prospects, and they're a Stanley Cup favorite and will be for the, you know, in the next few years. So I could see Sid being a Sakic type guy, but I'm not sure that we'll let him. Right? You'll want to see Sid up there.
Right.
More the demand on him will be
a little
more,
bit bigger. Like Sakic's
a legend. Hide a little bit in Colorado.
Yeah.
If Sid was in that position, he probably wouldn't. But I think you're bang on. Whatever it is, 12, 15 years down the road, he'll probably be the GM of Team Canada and the guy, assuming they're still going to the Olympics.
I agree.
Yep, you got to hope so anyway. All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
Get the simulator. I caught a little bit of you guys when I was out a few minutes when you were talking to Ray. I got the simulator, but I made a grave miscalculation where my ceilings are too low. So I have the simulator in the basement, but I can only use 9-iron and higher, as in wedge 60. I played St. Andrews a couple of weekends ago with only my wedge.
That is awesome, man. Like, that's exactly the concern, you know, because I've got a wedge in my basement. I just kind of chip around. One of these days, I'm just going to instinctively take a full swing and take a chunk out of the ceiling.
My wife, completed our basement, I think 2 years ago, and it's, you know, very nice. And now I said, I promised her I wouldn't gouge the ceiling, and I've gouged it. The first time I was horrified I did it. Now there's like 37 gouges in the ceiling, and I've just decided that I'm going to have a guy come in and fix the ceiling in the spring, and that's what we'll have to do every spring have a guy come in and fix the ceiling.
Just, man, you're going to be dialed in with that 9-iron, though. I cannot wait to see
nothing
you.
Else.
Yeah, exactly. Everything else will be a mess. You'll be a 15 handicap, but you'll be on tour with 9-iron up.
Right.
It's going to be outstanding.
Don't count on it.
Well, we'll see. We're getting there, buddy. We're getting close.
Yeah,
we'll be out there again before you know it. All right, man. We'll do it soon. There he is, James Duffy from TSN. Yeah, you kind of have to put in the work to know that you've got a ceiling high enough to swing if you're going to set up the man cave.
Such a key. It's such a key if you're building a house to have higher ceiling in the basement, 9 or 10 foot ceilings. It just feels bigger anyways. But if you want to mess around down there, kids, you got kids, bouncy castles and all that stuff, you got to have it.
There's always a stupid project in the basement where you need 10-foot ceilings down there.
Agreed.
Well, yeah. I don't know how high mine would be. Probably 8 feet. Somewhere.
Yeah, probably like 8. Standard's 8, I believe.
Yeah, so it'd be standard. Yeah. And you can't swing. I'm dying to take a full swing. And I just know I'm going to A, break a club, and B, go right through the roof, right through the ceiling.